Everybody this morning.
Great.
I heard a great. I love a great. We'll take great. You guys great now that he's great? You know, I'm fantastic. I get to share the word of God with my friends. Who could ask for anything better on a Sunday morning? For me, anyway. I don't know. Hope you guys feel the same when I'm done. But all right, we're going to dig into the word this morning. I was going to read those passages out of First John chapter 1 to open, but I've already read that. But I wanted to read them just to remind us of God and who He is in our lives and in what He has done for us. Created the world. Jesus was with them, and then He sent Jesus here to be with us, to bring the light. And then when Jesus went home, He sent His Holy Spirit to illuminate the darkness and to guide us. And I think it's important, no matter what we do, that we remember that. Because we then should be the light to others in the world, right? So today I'm going to read in John chapter 15 is the main scripture. But before I do that, I want to open with a little story that hopefully will set the stage for the message. As many of you probably know, I was in the Marines in my previous life. Long, long ago now. As I look back, I think, wow, that was a long time ago. But in the Marines, I was a mechanic. And to help you understand where I'm going with this, I was responsible for keeping that aircraft flying. Well, me and other people. But as I moved up in rank, I was the guy then that was fixing it, making sure it got fixed, and then I was the guy that was putting a little stamp on it that said, okay, you can take me flying now. I had to learn as much as I could about that helicopter in order to do that. I remember we had 4-inch black 3-ring binders. That was our manual. This was back before computers, back before Google and all that stuff. We didn't have anything on computer. Paul, you probably still have them at your shop, the big books of parts. But I remember these big 4-inch black ring binders, and there was just shelves full of them. If you want to know about a rotor blade, you open this one. If you want to know about an engine or whatever, you open these books. Now, I did not memorize all of those books. I was a very good mechanic, but I couldn't possibly remember all that. So I had to continually be in them, though, and be acquainted with them intimately so that I could do the best I could do at that job. I was always learning, always digging into those pages to find a more efficient way, a better way, a safer way to do that. Why did I have to do that? Simple. If that helicopter goes up in the air and comes back down, we don't accomplish our mission, and people get hurt. So I had that drive to be that intimately acquainted with that helicopter that would not happen. Our walk with God needs to be the same way. We need to be so intimately acquainted with God that when He talks to us or speaks to us or gives us a whisper in our ear, that we can get it. We understand what He wants, and we can go fulfill our mission. What's our mission as Christians? What's Matthew 28 say? Go and make disciples of all the world. How can we be the light of the world and go tell people about Jesus if we don't have that intimate knowledge of Him ourselves? So I think it's very important that we have that deep connection with God. So in John chapter 15, that's where we're going to go now. So if you want to turn there, John 15, we're going to be in the first 15, 16 verses, somewhere in there. And hopefully through this message, you'll get the importance of that intimacy with God. So I'm going to read like the first 8 verses or so for you. Everybody there? Chapter 15 of John, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The next verse, it might say abide, it might say remain. There might be some other translations. Mine says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch as is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you much may bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'm going to stop there for right now, and I'm going to just kind of highlight a few things. How many times was that phrase, abide in me, repeated in that short section of Scripture? 5, 6 various versions of it. I found one thing to be true in the Word. If it's repeated over and over again, it's probably important, would you say? Simple. If I want somebody to remember something, I'm going to keep telling them over and over until they've got it. So the phrase abide in me or remain in me must be an important point to remember. Okay? In some translations, they vary between remain and abide. The definition of remain is to continue, to stand, to last, to endure. Well, that's for remain. Abide, to bear with, to suffer, to endure, to tolerate, to stand. So very similar. My theory is that when they changed the word abide to remain, it was to soften it a little bit. Abide is a pretty tough concept. Abide, to bear with, to suffer with, to endure with, to tolerate. That's a hard thing to do. Remain makes it sound a little bit better. I'm going to remain with you. But either way, it's a very important thing that we need to do. We need to abide or remain with Christ. I'm going to go over those first 8 verses just generally. Verse 1, I am the vine, God the gardener. So Christ is the vine, God is the gardener. Okay? Verse 2 is obvious. We cut off the dead stuff. If you're not producing fruit, God's going to prune and take away. But he also is going to prune dead stuff off of that vine so that it can produce more. It's not just, boom, you're done. There's a combination there. He can take and prune a vine that's not really producing so that it can produce more. But the pruning is so that we can produce good fruit. The pruning is so that we can have a godly life and live a life of character so that we can share the light of the world. So the pruning is necessary. Okay. Verse 3 is, you are clean, refers to you've heard the word of Christ, the message of Christ. You've heard it, so now do it. Remain in me. Remain in the word. So about 6 times this concept is repeated. So to remain in Christ, and he will remain in you. It's a living union. It's mandatory. It's not a you should. It's not a I accept Christ and I'm done, I'm good. It's a remain in me. It's a continual flow, right? It's not, okay, I'm good, God. I'm going to go do my thing. It's remain connected. A vine remains connected to that main branch all the time. The vine can't say, I'm going to go over here and be a vine. I need that main support. So it's a living union. Without that union, it says we can do nothing. So if we want to be ineffectual as Christians, we can choose to do nothing. But the better option is to remain in Him and have that connection so that you can be guided and learn more. It's like digging into that 4-inch thick binder. You got to keep digging in to get into the Word. To have the Word in you, you have to be in the Word. I don't know every word of this. I didn't know every word of that 4-inch thick binder, of which there were probably 30. But I knew that if I dug into it, I could find what I needed. Same thing with the Word of God. If I am in it, I can find the answer to any of my concerns, anything I need. But I have to be in the Word. I have to abide in the Word. Verse 4, again, remain in me and I will remain in you. That's the concept. I can't produce fruit if I'm not attached to the vine. Right? The branch must remain attached all the time. Again, in verse 5, if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear fruit. Okay? Now, verse 6 is interesting because it's a caution. If anyone does not remain in me and I in him, he is cut off and thrown into the fire. Okay? Straightforward. If you are not with God, he is going to prune you and cut you off. This goes back to the reference Pastor Don made last week of the, I think it's the Church of Laodicea. Hot, cold, lukewarm, all that. If you're on fire for me, great. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to just cut you off, spit you out of my mouth. I don't want nothing to do with you. This is the same thing. I have to be in him and doing it the way I should. I have to be attached and connected to the vine. Again, verse 7. Again, this must be important, right? If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask and it will be given. This is to my Father's glory that you may bear much fruit. Okay? If you remain in him and he is in you, not only do you know what he wants you to do, but he knows the desires of your heart. He knows what you need. And it says, ask and it will be given. So this is a two-way thing. God wants to feed into you, but he wants you to be connected and with him also. Verse 9, again, remain in my love this time. Obey my commands and remain in my love. So if we're not remaining with God, we can't remain in his love because we need that physical connection, that spiritual connection. It has to all go together. But if we do, then we get the promise. So let's go to verse 12. I'll back up to 9, actually. It says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. So even Christ was connected to the Father at all times and obeyed his commands and abided with him. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. A lot of stuff in that verse, I understand that. But the summary of that is, If you remain in him, he in you, obey his commands. He doesn't count you as a servant anymore. He counts you as his friend. Just as if you're intimate with your husband and wife or whatever, you are interwoven and hopefully friends. But God doesn't call us his servants anymore. He calls us his friends. And he chose us. He revealed God's will and God's purpose to us as his friends so that we may bear fruit. I think that's just a huge concept to think about, that we're not servants of Christ. We are friends of Christ. We are children of a living God. And I think that's just an awesome promise to grasp a hold of. And he chose me, he chose you, and he appointed us to do things. And if we have genuine salvation, I believe that should be evidenced by the fruit we produce. People are going to see a change. They're going to see a life that brings glory to God. They're going to see a life in us that bears fruit. A life that is focused on demonstrating God's kingdom on earth, not just focused on our own stuff. Christ died for us. Shouldn't we be willing to die for him? How do we do this? We need to remain in him and him in us. Okay, so that's the opening. Now I got about another hour. What do you think? No, just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, but now you're probably wondering about that crazy outline. Think like a tree. What the heck does that mean? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you what it means. Okay, your first bullet point, if you're one of those, fill in the blanks. I usually just have a blank sheet, and I thought, I'm going to actually put something on it this week. So the first one, if you're a fill-in-the-blanker, intimacy with God is not optional. Okay? It's not optional. That's what those first 17 verses in the chapter 1 of John say. Intimacy is not optional. It's important. You need to abide in me. In James 4, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In Jeremiah 33, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you did not know. And there are scripture after scripture that indicates that if you have that intimate connection with God, you can call to him and he answers. And if that is the case, if he can hear me when I call to him and answers, then if he calls to me, I need to be able to hear him so I can answer.
That's right.
Goes both ways. That intimate acquaintance, that connection, okay? So think like a tree for a minute. Everybody thinking like a tree? What does a tree start out at? Starts out as a little seed, right? Seed grows up, but what's happening under the surface that I don't see? I'm taking root, right? Do you know how much of a tree's roots are underground compared to what's on top? Twice or 2.5 times the roots go down and out and deep as for everything you see up here. I have to go deep and be rooted. That's what I mean, like think like a tree. Before I produce fruit up here that people can see, I have to be rooted. In our case, we have to be grounded and intimately acquainted with the God that we serve. If I am not grounded and rooted deep, I can grow all I want up here where people can see, and I may produce some fruit, but I'm not going to last and I'm not going to be able to weather the storms because I don't have that stability, that root system. We have to remain in him and be rooted deep. That's what Don and Sherry are talking about all the time when they are talking and preaching to create this atmosphere where we are grounded and firm foundation. All of that is a rooting. We have to be deep. And we've heard it over and over again. We have to be deep before we can grow wide, right? Before a tree can grow up and produce that good fruit, it has to be rooted. Sometimes the invisible part of our walk is more important than the visible. Right? The prayer closet, the time alone with God, the worshiping in my car. All of that stuff grounds me and keeps me rooted so that when I go to work or go out in the world, I can withstand the crap I can weather the storm and do what God's called me to do. If I'm not grounded, I'm just tossed around and ineffective. Not so many years ago, that was me. If you'd have looked at me 10 years ago, you wouldn't have known where I would be now. I did that by making a commitment to get into the Word, get into worship, get grounded, and do the things God calls me to do through those prayer times, through them quiet times. I started praying with people at work. I started, you know, just crazy stuff that I would never have gone to work and done before. But I do it because now I am grounded and I am confident in the Lord and I know I can go and bear fruit. 10 years ago, I wouldn't have thought about getting up here and even preaching a fraction of the Word of God. And I'm not that good now. I got a long way to go. But I've grown by getting into the Word and learning it. I wouldn't have gone to Manor Care 10 years ago. I wouldn't, you know, but I can do that now because I'm starting on that journey. I'm starting to put down them roots. I have a long way to go. My root system is not complete, right? None of our root systems will ever be complete. A tree never stops growing until it's gone, all right? It's always going to be growing. But in order to do that, I have to be grounded. What else does the roots of the tree do? They go down into the soil. What are they getting? They're getting nutrients. They're getting fed. When I'm rooted and grounded in the Word of God, I'm getting fed. I'm getting nourished. I'm getting encouraged and built up. And there's more, and it's not just being in the Word. It's not just the Word. I get encouraged and nourished by listening to Pastor Don and Sherry preach, or by being fed by my wife or Dave or fellowship with other believers. I'm encouraged and nourished by the body as well. I'm encouraged and nourished by Angie singing that song and bringing me into God's presence. There's many ways to get deeper with God and to get that. But the Word of God obviously is important. But I've got to remain grounded. I've got to do those things. So intimacy with God is not optional. Okay? Everybody agrees with that, I hope, because otherwise we got problems. So our walk should be like a tree. We should never stop seeking, growing, serving to produce good fruit that lasts. And a tree is ever changing. It's always growing, it's ever changing. New branches, new leaves, new fruit. Our Christian walk should ever be evolving and changing. As we go deeper and grow, we should look different. People should see a noted change in how we act, what we do, what we say. It should be a heart change, though. It's not a forced thing. It just comes naturally. The more you abide in Him and He gets into you, these things just happen. I didn't wake up one day and go to work and say, okay, I'm going to pray with somebody today. I just did it. It just happened because God is in here and the opportunity arose and I just did it. I didn't go and say, okay, I'm going to pray with Joe today. It just happened because my heart is changing. The more I'm in the Word, the more I abide, the more those things just happen. It's an overflow of God's goodness, of the light of the world. But also as that happens, you'll see other things. You'll see your faith grow. You'll see those kind of opportunities will just kind of happen because God knows, okay, He's abiding in me. He can hear me. Here, I'm going to give Him some. But it doesn't happen if we're not intimately connected with the Father. So our walk should be like a tree. A lot of it's underneath, not seen. And that serves as that outpouring of what we do see. So my challenge on that point is just make a change. Pick one thing and change it. And this is not a new concept. This is not rocket science, if you will. This is making a commitment to God to change one thing. About a month ago, I decided, one, I'm getting kind of heavy in the middle. I'll start walking on the treadmill. So I set my alarm for 20 minutes earlier, and I go down and walk on a treadmill for 20 minutes. What's that got to do with remaining close to God? Simple. I turn on my worship music and pray for 20 minutes. That's an extra 20 minutes I wasn't giving God a month ago. But it's one thing. And it has made a huge difference in my outlook when I go to work. Because I've just spent 20 minutes just worshiping God. But it's inside. Nobody sees that. Chris asked me about a week ago, you've been walking on a treadmill? Because she's sleeping. I didn't make a point of telling her I'm going to go walk on the treadmill and pray for 20 minutes. I just had a desire to do it. And now it's a habit. And now I just do it and I go down there. I hate walking. Anybody walk on a treadmill? It is boring. I would never. Yeah, but what do you do when you walk on a treadmill? I bet you got a music in your ear. Do it with nothing. Do it just, oh, it's terrible. But with the Word of God in my ear, I do it joyfully, and I'm absorbing God for 20 minutes. And that 20 minutes flies by. That thing goes beep, and I'm like, oh, I'm there. Now my next step would be maybe to add a little more time on there. But the point is that it's just something that nobody sees that I chose to do to get closer to God. We all need to do those things. We all need to challenge ourselves in the things nobody else sees. Because then that outpouring will come up, and then people will see good fruit being produced. So challenge yourself a little bit in that. And that's just like, Don and Sherry are always promoting first and third. That's just an opportunity to come and pray with other believers. And it's intimate, and it's just, you connect with family. We're family. We're all in the family of God. We're all children of God. And when we come together, it's just phenomenal. But seek those opportunities. It doesn't have to be in public, private, whatever, but seek those opportunities to draw closer to God. Okay? All right, bullet point two for you bullet pointers. Guess what the answer is? Serve with humility, not optional. Now this, you may think, what's it got to do with being intimate with God? Well, I'm going to tell you. That outpouring of service that comes from being intimate with God, from abiding with God. Now I have that outpouring. That outpouring has to be done with humility. And it has to be done with the focus on God. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always where you think you want to be doing it or what you think you want to be doing. Sometimes it's because God just said to do it and you just need to do it. I think, sometimes I think about a year ago now, I guess, when Pastor Phil Capuccio was here, he had a word for me. That word hasn't materialized yet. In my mind, when he read that word, first I said, really? That's not me. And then I started looking for it. He told me, pray into it. Be seeking it. And as I look back at that word, I think, I'm not there yet. I haven't seen hardly any of that. But that doesn't mean that I'm not working toward it. And he has me doing a lot of other things to prepare me to fulfill that word. You don't get a word and boom, you're there. Or you don't get something that God doesn't. It takes time. It's a process. You know, if you think of the Apostle Paul, he had the conversion experience, and then he went away for like 14 years to get ready to actually do ministry. And then he ministered for, 40 years? He never arrived. And in his word, you can see, he says, I have not yet arrived. You'll never arrive, but one day you'll get there. But as you're serving, working toward that, you have to do it with humility. You have to do it where God has you. Back to the Marine story for a very brief minute. When I first went into Marines, I was a helicopter mechanic. You know where my first base was? A Navy base, New Orleans, Louisiana, working on C-130 prop jobs. I'm thinking, I'm a helicopter mechanic. What is this? But you know what I learned through that experience? Wherever I was placed, I needed to learn to excel in that, to do the best I could in that. And when I look back at it now, I think I worked with his name was Pappy. I went into this propeller shop as a helicopter mechanic, and I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing in this place? These things are stinky and oily, and yeah, I don't want to work here. But I met a guy named Pappy. Now, when I knew him back in 1980, he was probably 100 years old. He had served 30 years in the Navy, retired, and then became a civil servant. Pappy knew more about these aircraft than any, probably the guy that wrote the book. But he taught me about propellers. I didn't want to work on propellers, but I served where the military said to serve. So the same thing applies with God. It's not always serving where you think you want to or doing what you think you want to do. If you abide in Him and Him in you, you're going to do what He asks you to do willingly with a great heart, wherever it is. And you're going to do it with humility. You're not going to say, oh, I served 83 bags of popcorn today, and I did this, and I talked to 18 people. It's not about that. It's about serving and doing what God asks you to do. 4th of July. Was anybody here? God told me to put up a prayer tent. You know how many people came to that prayer tent? Zero. You know what? I don't care. God told me to put up a prayer tent and sit in it. I did. Did I look like an idiot sitting there talking to myself for 4 hours? Probably. But you know what? God is using that as a growth. Was I listening? Was I abiding in Him? And was I going to do it? Doesn't matter the outcome sometimes. I did what He asked me to do. Am I going to do it next 4th of July? Yes. If He asked me to do it, I'll sit there for 20 years in that prayer tent. Because someday somebody's going to come in there. So I'm going to continue to abide in God and Him in me and do what He asked me to do. Do I get it right all the time? No, because I have not arrived. Do I miss opportunities? Yes. I missed an opportunity a couple weeks ago, and I kicked myself for 2 days afterward. It's like, oh, man. But it was not, you can't go back. But you learn, and you grow, and you keep going. In Nehemiah chapter 3, the heading, we're not going to turn there, but the heading actually says rebuilding the wall. It's when they had gone back to Jerusalem, and they had to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem that had been destroyed over the years. Each person focused on what God told them to do. Each person had a section of the wall to build. You know how God did it? Or how the leaders did it? All right, Tim, right in front of you is that section. Build it. Larry, there's your section. Build it. Chris, build it. You know what the people did? They built it. The wall in front of them. They didn't worry about what somebody else was doing. They didn't say, I'm not a carpenter, I don't want to build that gate. They didn't say, I'm not a mason, I don't want to build that wall. They said, okay, let's build it. They focused on what God gave them to do, and they did it. Again, back to Paul. I'm sure Paul didn't, in his resume, say, okay, God, you've converted me. Now, I would like to do this, this, and this. Paul had a terrible life of ministry by human standards. He was shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned. You know, why would he abided in Christ, though? He didn't say, nah, I don't want to do that one. He went where God told him, did what God called him to do, to the Gentiles, no less. You know, so we go and do what we're told, when we're told, with joy, because we abide in Him. If we abide in Him, we do it joyfully. It's easy. So if God asks you to do something and you have a crappy attitude about it, I'm going to say you're probably not abiding in Christ at that moment. And you need to maybe regroup and see what you can do to fix that. Even if it's not something you want to do. All right? That's just a thought, food for thought for later. So if your attitude's not right, it's probably because you need to be a little more abiding in Christ. Grow your roots deeper. Serve where called, serve where needed, serve with humility. And then the last one, I kind of already covered, so you should know the answer. Thinking you arrived is not optional. You're never there. A tree never stops growing. We never stop growing. We never stop learning. But along the way, there's a couple of cautions that'll help you to keep moving forward. Don't measure your success or your fruit by other people's. I'm going to repeat that. Don't measure your walk, your fruit, by what other people are doing. I cannot measure my walk with Christ or my preaching ability or my prayer ability by Pastor Don's. God has gifted Pastor Don a certain way. He's wired him a certain way. He's wired me a certain way. I can't compare what I'm doing to other people. That's just going to derail you and throw you off. Just like when they were building the wall, they didn't say, oh, this section of wall is beautiful. Mine looks, I'm not going to do it anymore because his looks better. That's not how it works. Serve where he has you. Focus on what he's having you to do. Don't worry about what other people are doing. Don't worry if you're a singer and somebody else sings better than you, or if you're a teacher and somebody else teaches better than you. Are you doing what God called you to do with the best you can do it? Focus on that. Don't measure success by cultural standards. Children of God do not measure up to the same standards of the world. We're above that. We have different standards. It's not about how many people are in the pews. In Africa, I preached to 500 people. So what? If there were one of you in the pew, I'd preach the same way. So it doesn't matter butts in pews, anything else that's going on. Focus on where God has you. Keep growing and keep serving. And don't compare yourself to the world or to other people. God has a plan for you. It's not the same one he has for me. And never think you're there. Remember, you're never there. If you're the best teacher you think you can be, I bet you can be better. If you're the best preacher, I bet you can get better. I bet the famous preachers didn't say, oh, I'm a good preacher, and stop reading the Word of God. Right? They're great preachers because they read the Word of God. I was a good mechanic because I was into that, and I learned and studied and grew. Pastor Don has been in the Word his entire life, and he has not yet arrived. He is still in the Word and still learning and still growing. You have never arrived. You never say, I've done this, that, and I'm good. And I don't care if you're Shirley's age or Gianna's age. Shirley, you're not done. Norma's not done. Norma serves every Sunday out there. Norma was at the fireworks and loved it. Right? You're never done. You've never arrived. You can always serve God. Need to always be striving to get more intimate with God. Don't settle for where you are. Push forward. In Ezekiel 47, and again, we won't go there because it's a long scripture, but it's a good scripture. It's Ezekiel 47, chapter 12. It says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Okay? Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, all kinds of trees. Okay? Back to the tree thing. We're all different kind of trees, folks. Simple. I won't say who's the fruit trees and who's the others, but we're all different kind of trees. God has gifted us each differently. Our roots go deeper. Some roots go deeper than others. Some branches spread. It doesn't matter. God placed each of us here for a reason. And I think this is a great illustration. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, all kinds of trees that will be used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. If we abide or remain in Christ and strive to serve Him and to keep digging our roots deeper, our leaves will never wither and our fruit will be good. We are called to produce good fruit. And the river of life that provides that for the trees is Jesus Christ. We have to abide and remain in Him. And what I see when I look out in this room is a bunch of really good trees that are striving to dig their roots deeper. So be encouraged. However far you've gone, just keep going. However far your roots are down, keep going. If your roots go down and you think you've hit a rock or something and you just can't go no farther, keep pushing. You'll get through it. If you're weathering storms and you're swaying back and forth like this, get into the Word and dig your roots deeper to hold yourself. You'll stabilize. There's no storm too big for God if our roots are sunk deep. And we will bear good fruit. That being said, I want to encourage all of you. Just be in the Word. Take the challenge. God has laid down this. He's given us this book, the Word, so that we can know Him better. Pick it up and read it. You know, I open certain books and I'm like, yeah, I better read that one again and again and again. It's not an easy book. But some of it's pretty straightforward. What I read today, that's pretty self-explanatory. So open it up. Start with the Gospels. If you're not good at this, just open up to the Gospels. Pick one and read it. If you don't get it, read it again. Or do like I did in the Navy when I got with old Pappy. He's a world of knowledge. Go talk to somebody. We're all fellow believers. We're all at different places. But we can help each other and feed each other. So take up the challenge and don't let the world tell you anything different. You are children of a living God, and we can produce good fruit. If you look out at the culture, you can look at the culture and say, "Ah, it's hopeless." It's not hopeless as long as we have the light of the world in us. Okay, so as the Angie, you guys can come back up. So as the team comes, I'm just going to close with prayer. And my encouragement is, during the altar call, if how you respond is up to you, you can stay in your pew, but I'm going to tell you, if you get out of your pew and come up here, God is well pleased with that step of, you know, it's kind of like baptism. Baptism, you know, it's an outward thing of an inward response that you've made. The altar call is the same way. You can pray in your pew or you can come forward. If you come forward and want prayer, look at me or look at Chris or Dave and we'll pray with you. But if you come forward and you just want to, on your own, give something to God or say, "God, I'm going to change this," or "I'm going to do that." That's all God wants, to keep moving toward Him. If you've got some struggles you're dealing with and you want prayer, I'd be glad to pray with you about that. But run the race and stay the course. A tree never stops growing. So think like a tree. Okay? Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning and for just that we have the ability, Lord, to open the Word and draw closer to You through the Word. And to draw closer to You through the music and through just the atmosphere, Lord, that You are in this house with us and You are abiding in us as we abide in you. And I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for the promises that your word holds. I thank you for each person that came out this morning to hear your word and to soak it in. And I just pray, Lord, that they would continue to soak it in and abide in your presence and in your love as they leave this place today. Amen.